Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
What's going on, successors, and welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast. Oh, my goodness.
He laughing because he knows it's true.
Oh, my goodness. So today we're going to go ahead and get into the interview. You are so petty. Let me get my notes, man. So I'm excited.
Me too, to
have you in the studio.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in the beginning stages of you starting Speak Your Success, I've been thinking, like, man, I need to team up with him. And then it wasn't until we went to that event that I was like, okay, now we really got to connect.
That's good. Okay, let me introduce you. Didn't he introduce you yet? What is your last name? I didn't even ask your last name, Victoria. I know you, but I don't know your last name.
I'm sad. Victoria Thomas.
Oh, it is Thomas. Oh, my goodness. I was like, no, it's not that simple. I refuse. Okay. Without further ado, we're going to welcome Miss Victoria Thomas to the Speak Your Success Podcast. She is a volleyball coach. She is also the owner of Journey Fit. Yes. Look at this branding. It's off the chain. But I really like how the branding on your gear is like, it's like gold.
Yeah, that gold foil.
That black and that gold is sick. As well as she's a sports and entertainment lawyer. And last but not least, this one really matters. Nutrition expert.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially for my community, man.
Talk to us about that nutrition piece. Let's talk about it.
It's hard. I've been vegan for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that, and they don't think that you can really just get dense muscle mass off of being vegan. And not even just being vegan, like, I'm very plant-based. So you see a lot of people that are just vegan, all they try to do every day is they don't eat meat and they don't eat dairy. Some of mm-hmm. it for animal reasons, and some people just don't want to eat meat or dairy. I literally am plant-based, so I'm mainly eating vegetables and plants the majority of the day.
Okay.
And I actually feel stronger. Like, I've been able to maintain muscle mass. I feel stronger. My inflammation is down so much. Rarely get sick.
Okay.
And so a lot of us don't even understand that a lot of the harmful chemicals that we put into our body are through processed foods. And that's the way that we're getting a lot of these terminal illnesses, where people really think it's not possible, but cancers come from food. And then you
just said something.
Yeah, really. And then you hear it over time that, you know, I hate when people think that sickness is genetic. No, it's that in the history and line of your ancestry, y'all have been repeatedly eating bad. So it is genetic in the way that genetically through the line and history of your family, y'all have had bad eating habits. And so that's the reason why it is genetic. But if somebody's there to kind of break that, that's when, you know, you can become a little bit more healthy. And it's a lot, you know, I might be the second vegan Nigerian in the world, worldwide.
I was about to say, you're the first one. You're the first.
My first cousin for me. Is actually vegan, too.
Oh, okay, so y'all tied. Okay.
Yeah, shout out to Elizabeth. Yeah, we out here vegans.
Man, so first and foremost, a vegan Nigerian is like a unicorn. And I'm not saying they don't exist, but they're just around. They're amongst us somewhere. You know, kind of like superheroes, you know, they're like, they're amongst us somewhere. We don't know.
Right.
But wow, okay. So when did that shift take place for you? Because I know you've been an athlete all your life.
Right.
Like, so when you say, you know what, I need to make the change to be vegan.
I tell this story and a lot of people like look at me like, okay, is that the truth? But honestly, I wasn't even planned. Like, I wasn't, you know, I didn't wake up one day and be like, I'm gonna be vegan. I do the Daniel fast in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Every year, you know, I really want to get that close connection to God. Especially being an entrepreneur is vital, you know, to be able to have plans, take them to God, and then go through the struggle and really real. Just faith it out. We be thinking we gonna pray and we just gonna get it tomorrow. No, we gonna pray and go into an immediate storm. So hey, that's that Christian walk.
Oh, but my goodness. So. That's that faith walk. No, that's real. Now talk that faith walk. Yeah, talk that faith. Because that's super real. Because I think sometimes people's like, okay, I'm gonna do my plan and it's gonna work. And then that's like the meme. I know you've seen it. It's like entrepreneur as point A to point B, or it's like success. But then it's like, this is what it really looks like. And it got there.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, yeah, it is. I mean, I could literally talk an hour about like really, really just having faith in God and God's plan will really always make sure that you get to where you want to be. Mm. But a lot of people don't really understand the concept of faith. If faith is you believing in something that you can't see and the things that you hope for, but you cannot see them, and evidence of those things. Mm. It's the evidence of the things that you cannot see and that you hope for.
Mm.
Then that means that you're going to have to not see it and you're going to have to produce the faith. Like, we forget that in order to just be able to please God, we have to have faith. And so you're going to have to struggle. Because you can't have faith for the things that you're confident that are going to happen.
Mm.
You can't.
You can't have faith for the things that you see because you don't have to have faith in it.
Exactly. Oh. So we don't understand that in order to have faith, we're going to struggle. So we should almost honestly think struggle as something that is regular. And the way that we are going to overcome it is not being deterred by it, not being shaken by it, not being moved by things that are hard, things that are complicated, things that you fail at. But just knowing that God always has that ultimate plan for you is always going to make sure that you get on top. So I will say being an entrepreneur will humble you. I think some of the biggest Christians have to be entrepreneurs, because when everything goes crazy, you got to be able to rely on something. And so I've been in those places before with, you know, building a gym is not easy. I don't have any partners. I'm solo. Like, it's Victoria LLC, and I filed a solo S-Corp. So it's like, at the end of the day, faith is really, really the main thing that you need if you're really trying. And that's not just for just being an entrepreneur. That's for anything that you really, really want in life that you don't have.
Man, I see why business is booming up in here, because I'm motivated. I forgot to add something. We should have added a motivational speaker at the end, because clearly we missed something. You know, there's all kind of words and messages in what you just shared, because I think a lot of times people, they say we have faith in God, but then they eliminate the faith piece. And I've been there too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not trusting in something greater than me, but I'm just trusting in myself.
Yeah. In your own ability.
In my own God-given ability. Mm-hmm. Because that's why my message is always helping people understand that we have God-given gifts. Mm-hmm. And then utilizing that God-given gift, ultimately, yes, to further the kingdom.
Yeah.
It can be monetized, mm-hmm. but then more so for service to other people.
That's true.
But I think when we get to the point and it's like, okay, well, I'm my own given gift. You just delete God from it. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's like, okay, we'll do it. You know, you got the gift.
Yeah.
You call. You know, make it work. Make it work. And then that's when we really struggle. Because there's a difference between, you know, going to, you know, because the hills and valleys, and you go into the valley.
Right.
But then God brings you up like Job.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another difference where you're just in a valley and you're blocking yourself from your own blessing because it's pride.
That's true.
I'm talking to myself. I've been there. I'm talking to myself here.
Yeah, that's super real, especially, you know, what you said about pride. And I feel like there are certain situations where God will literally take you into the valley. And not that, you know, he's not the author of anything bad. Everything good comes from him, but he'll just take his hand off of the situation because you don't even know that his hand was the one that was protecting you in the first place.
You preaching.
So all he will do is remove it.
Yeah.
You'll end up in this deep place, and he will remove every single resource that you have in order to get up out there so that you know when you come out, you can only attribute it to him. And so I feel like, you know, that those are some of the main things that that I have learned so much. That's why when I go through struggles and when I go through hardship, I really get to this point to where it's not that it doesn't faze me, mm-hmm. but I know that my Creator's not going to just leave me. Mm-hmm. And that's a different type of peace that I have learned to develop. It didn't always come, oh, I used to be that one. When I get frustrated, you would know, because I can't talk to nobody. Don't talk to me. I'm popping off on everybody. Yeah. Like, I have been that person time and time again. But, you know, as your faith matriculates and grows, you get this certain type of peace over you in situations. So everything that you said was, like, right on point.
Yeah. How did you, well, not how did you, but what would you say has been one of the biggest challenges? Because, I mean, I haven't really gone into it, but, you know, you've been a successful sports and entertainment attorney. Right. You've represented some stars, yeah. No pun intended. Yeah. You know, on Fox, and then now you know you have this gym. You've been an athlete, Division I athlete,
yep.
Which does not come easy.
Yeah, at all.
That does not come. That was on my wish list when I was young. I was like, okay, so if I'm 6'5", I just need to weigh 175, and then, you know, then I can play.
I remember because you were playing basketball with Jordan.
Yeah. But that was even before that. That was high school. Like, I was like, okay, I would print off rosters, and I'm like, okay, I would look at what everybody else was, and I was saying, if I can just be that, then I'll be able to be Division I, even though that's definitely not the case. Yeah. That's a whole nother God-given gift. Talk about, like, challenge. Like, what was the biggest challenge for you, or just a challenge throughout your journey?
That's hard, because you just hit on, like, three main areas of my life, which is sports. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these were, like, 4-year periods of my life, like college, playing sports, you know, being in law school 3 to 4, and then now owning the gym.
That's true.
And so, I would say, like, if I could just tie some central theme between. What's the hardest thing between all three is trying to keep your faith high.
Mm.
Because even though I understand it now, I had baby faith back then. Like, I had that baby faith where, you know, it was cool, you know, when things were going good, but when it was bad, everything was bad.
Mm.
So I can just pull, you know, several different challenges from each situation. When I was playing college sports, I transferred. I was that kid that was transferring
really?
Schools.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I ended up at Rutgers. But I started at Southern University in Louisiana.
You was down there?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that.
You was down at
Southern? Shout out to Southern.
I love Southern. I spoke down there many times. My dad, my dad got his lawyer degree. He passed the bar. What is it? he graduated from Southern.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, they have a pretty good program.
Degree.
My cousin goes there. And so I'll say that one of the hardest things in that was just trying to find a place where, you know, I felt like I could play, because I wasn't playing when I first went into college. And it was very hard to go through that, not even knowing that I have a whole different theory about student athletes. And it's hard because I coach so many of them every single day. And, like, if we're talking about percentage-wise, like, we have to talk – it's at least only 10% of them that leave from college and go actually make a career out of it still playing.
Oh, and, that's 10% of D1?
Volleyball.
Oh,
yeah. And so it's not like we're doing that so often. So I'm all about trying to find out, because that's not necessarily your purpose. I feel like that's passion. And then through your purpose, you know, you can kind of grow into what you're actually here for. So I would say that I was so focused on that, and, you know, not playing and trying to figure out, you know, what do I got to do to play? I'm going to change schools. I changed to another school, and I played a lot. I went to Rutgers, and I didn't play. You know, not even trying to handle what the actual issue was, is because my technique for passing was not that good. But I was an awesome hitter.
Okay.
I would say that, you know, keeping the faith high, and then kind of going into law school was the same thing. You know, keeping the faith high, because law school was hard. Like, it was super hard, and I just felt like what I wanted to do wasn't what everybody else wanted to do, and trying to keep my faith high through a lot of disappointments and a lot of struggles. And with the gym, like, 100%. Like, I've been in here in some months where I've literally, the first 3 months of me being in this gym, I thought I was going to close it down.
Oh, no.
What? First of all, the free rent went away after the first month.
Oh.
you know how that goes. And then I'm sitting over here counting, like, okay, if I got 13 clients and all of them paying anywhere from 100 to 300, but the rent is 6,000. This don't add up. This don't really just add up.
Ooh,
so,
talk that math.
Man, that when you know that math. When you in there just like, okay, now I'm going to write down who I can call. Because if I can get 500 from this person and 1,000 from this person and pay them, I still can't pay them back, though, within the next 2 months. So, you know, I was going through that. Like, I didn't have enough you know, capital in the beginning to really start this, but I'm also somebody who's very headstrong. I've had people that told me, you know, Victoria, you need to wait. Victoria, you're not ready for this. And even though I'm that type of person where I want to find out for myself.
Okay.
Like, you know, I hear you.
I can respect that.
But let me find that out. You know, let me go through it. And then I was in the middle of it like, dang, I can't even call these people, ask for help. They going to be on some I told you so.
Oh, not that I told you so. Ooh, that I told you so ministry.
It is. It's a whole ministry. They got a Bible and fellowship. They got a choir team always singing about it, you know. So I just feel like in the beginning it was very hard. It was very, very, very hard. But I also know that God wouldn't allow all of these things to happen. Me be able to open up, you know, just getting the lease for the building, getting making sure that everything was here, all the equipment was here, and then just have me open and then have me not be able to pay the rent. He don't work like that. So I really had to find that place where I kept the faith. There was a lot of nights where I cried by myself. There were nights when I had to be here at 5:30 in the morning and I was training nobody, or I was training one person but charging them group prices, but and it was a lot. I only had one employee at that time. Now I have six, you know.
Wow.
So it's something that was a everyday constant, a constant battle, because in the beginning of being an entrepreneur, you're gonna, like how you were saying, you know, that meme where you see success here and you're starting here and people think it's here, but they don't know that it's here. I've been doing that. I've just gotten to a place where I'm semi-comfortable and now I want more. So I know that I'm gonna have to start at the bottom again. But I will say that, yeah, we had those moments where we got good, then we went bad again when it came to, you know, having enough members and turning over enough to be able to, you know, pay the bills and have a little bit of profit. But at the 6 month mark, we still turned over into profit. But those 6 months, it was a lot of grinding.
How did you, something tangible, how did you flip that from being in here by yourself, being in here with one employee, being in here, you know, having one client, like, how did you make that work to where you didn't have to shut it down?
Man, I'll say that I had to strategize. Strategy is key for me.
That's good.
You know, I'm all about a plan. I'm all about strategy. I'm all about, you know, thinking about the things that are working. I even went and got a business advisor. You know, I'm not that prideful person. I'm smart. I know I'm smart. But, you know, I know that there are people that have been doing this for a long time and can aid and help me. So I wasn't afraid to reach out to them. But then there's also a lot of people who think that they know everything about what you're doing, and that's not necessarily true. So you have to be very mindful about the people that you reach out to help for. Everybody cannot help you.
Wow.
You know, a lot of praying. A lot of strategy, praying and strategy. I would say that those were the two main things that kind of helped me to go from where I was to barely being able to cover the rent to being, you know, over 200% in profit right now. And so I would say that, you know, it took a lot of that, but God always worked it out to where it was supposed to be.
Man, I think that's really powerful. Just what you saying, those two pieces, the one really about being focused on making a strategy, having a plan. And then on the other side, you saying that you went and got a business advisor. You know, other people might call this individual a coach. Other people might call this individual a mentor. You know, different terminology, different jargon, whatever it might be. So now I want to just transition and talk to you about coaching, because you coach a volleyball team, correct?
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
So for those of you who are familiar, I coach Team Dream. They're the first African-American team to win first place at a national tournament. The team is comprised of all African-American players. Some of them played at some of the most prestigious colleges and volleyball programs. I got four girls from UT that played for UT, girl from Kentucky, you know, all over, and just stellar D1 athletes. And a lot of people were, I came into that tournament, a lot of people were like, Victoria, are you really going to coach? Like, you over here got all these superstars on your team. Like, y'all better win, you know. But but it wasn't necessarily easy, you know. We actually had a lot of people that didn't understand why we put that team together. And coming from the standpoint of we're showing reverse racism, which I don't even think exists. But I digress.
Okay.
And I just kind of felt that a lot of people don't even understand that. Volleyball is a very expensive sport. Oh, 100%. Like, if you ever pick one person that plays club volleyball, because that's the only way that you're going to really get recruited to go to college, is their parents are paying anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 a year to get you to play. Now, if they want to come to any of your tournaments, they're going to end up spending $10,000. Wow. So volleyball is a very expensive sport, and sometimes it will, not on purpose, but you know, push out a lot of African Americans from playing because we don't understand. Like, we don't understand, like, why do we have to pay so much? What is the benefit of being able to play? And this is something that's statistic. I'm not just talking. This is statistic. If you look at volleyball clubs, African American females make up about 10% of the club. And so that's why it turns into volleyball looking at the sport that's not African Americans that play. And I will just say that our main focus was to try to get that representation. Representation really matters. And it really matters in a sport where the disparity is that high. It's not on purpose. It's not like clubs are not allowing black girls to play. It's that they don't know. So if they see a team of unified African-American girls playing this sport, and we won the whole tournament, and it's sanctioned by the Olympic USA Volleyball, they're going to be able to identify. We've had people reach out to us from all over the world. Like, Longhorn Network did a special. ESPN did an interview, and there were, and what we wanted to accomplish actually got done. People reached out to us, and there were girls that were saying, black and brown girls, like, I want to play volleyball. Like, you know, where do I start? Where do I go to? And now we probably just started the opportunity for that child to be able to play in college for free. You know, off of just doing something that we really believed in. But then you had those people that had a problem with it. When it really didn't make any sense, because we were the only team that didn't get a sponsor. We paid out of pocket. And not only did all those other teams in that pro tournament have a sponsor, but they also got paid to be in the tournament by their sponsors. We were literally the only team that wasn't. So it's like, how can you knock us for doing something where we paid for it? And not only that, but we were able to kind of encourage other people to play the sport.
Man, that's so powerful. Because one of the things I really love the most about just people doing it, just operating within their purpose, and just having the opportunity to expose children, youth, individuals.
Huge.
To other opportunities that they otherwise might have never known about. And then now, you know, because of course we know in our community, you know, there's basketball.
Right.
And then there's basketball, basically, because softball, I mean, fast pitch isn't cheap either, because there's club there as well. And, you know, when you get to those spaces and now just seeing that opportunities are being created from something that you had pure intentions with. How does that make you feel, though, knowing that you've now shed light on an area of darkness? And it's creating opportunity. How does that make you feel?
I mean, that always is going to make me feel good, because I even feel like the way that we even came about it was so, like, it was an idea, and we were like, let's just do it. Like, we've been talking about it. Let's stop talking about it, and let's just do
it. Take action.
Like, you know, and so it definitely makes me feel good, because I even feel like the way that I even connected with all these girls was so random that I feel like God kind of orchestrated that. Like, it was supposed to be. Like, we almost didn't even win the tournament, but at the end of the day, I felt like we were always going to win the tournament, because I felt like everybody needed to see that, to see that we weren't just in the tournament, but we were successful, so they could see that if there's such a disparity between African Americans playing this sport, but we dominate the sport, think about how we could just raise the game if we could just incorporate a little bit more diversity. So, you know, I really felt like, you know, it was a purpose thing that we did, and it just made me feel good to make sure that it happened.
Okay, so you were just talking about it, like, knowing that you are, well, basically knowing that you all were going to win the tournament the whole time. Can you just talk about how you were able to either cultivate that level of mindset, or how you went into the tournament with that mindset?
Went into the tournament with that. Like, I knew that there were going to be a lot of, like, mind you, we're playing other pros. Like, a lot of these girls are coming from whatever country they played in professionally to come play in this tournament.
Wow.
So I knew that it wasn't going to be easy, but it was just the mindset. You know, people were scared of us, like, just looking at, like, dang, this team looks beast mode. Like, and so it's so we fed into everybody's thoughts about what they thought about our team. But before we even went into it, we just set the level and tone of confidence so high that even in the time era that we were making mistakes, like in the very championship game, the last game, we were down in the set, like the whole time. Like, you know, we were down and we had to come back, and then we had to play a game to 15 to break the tie between what games we were winning. So I think the mindset is important to set it before you even enter into somewhere. Like, I set intentions before I come into the gym. In the morning, like, whatever I'm doing, whether I'm reading something, I'm just trying to get some stimuli other than music that is going to help to set my mind into a positive place and zone. And getting that before you even walk into anything is so important, because then people are not going to be able to easily break you, especially when you don't even think. If you walk into something, you don't even think about how, oh, you know, I didn't even think that I needed confidence to do this, or I didn't take time to prepare myself mentally, you're easily broken. So we had to set that before we even walked into it, and it's so important.
You're in here blessing the game today. You're definitely here blessing the game. You come coming in here talking about strategy. Come here talking about getting a business advisor.
You know,
you didn't say coach. You didn't say mentor. You said business advisor. And I know business advisor costs some bread.
Yeah, they do.
But they cost bread because they know their expertise, and they know that they're going to yield you a return.
That's true.
And then you come in here talking. You talking this mindset game in here.
Big
talking
time. About,
oh, my goodness.
It's all about that. You know, a lot of people, or one of the reasons that a lot of people were telling me, you know, not to go into the gym, because they were just thinking about how much capital I was going to need. And I didn't think of it like that. I literally think that everything that people say is so hard to get, especially when it comes to money. They literally think that's the hardest thing to do is to get. Like, oh, well, you know, after I write down my business plan, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time trying to do a money raise or figure out where we're going to get the money from. But really, a lot of those things are easy as long as you're following the steps of what you believe that God has for you. And everything is just going to start falling in a line.
Wow.
So I know that when there was a time period where I needed to come up with $30,000 to be able to move forward.
How much
with this
you
place. 30,000.
Oh, okay. 30K.
And, you know, to me, you know, that's still a lot of money. Like, I know that to people, I just graduated law school, you know, just graduating and trying to get into a job. I had a job, but they were not paying me a lot. And, you know, that was still a lot of money, but I didn't think of it like that. It's all about the way that you think about things. That's not going to be the hurdle that's just going to stop me. I literally was praying and fasting, and one of my best friend's husband came and gave me a $30,000 check.
That's real.
Yeah, no lie. And to this day, like, he's one of the reasons that, you know, Journey Fit is able to be alive and thrive. And a lot of people don't know that. He wants no credit for it. And I knew that God was going to find and link me up with a person like that. You know. So I just feel, and he plays in the NFL, so, you know, $30,000 to him might not be nothing. You know, it might be a drop in the bucket. But still, at the same time, it helped me out so much.
But at the same time, I'm gonna extract this from what you said. Also, is even though you said $30,000 is a lot of money, and I hear you saying that, but I can also tell that you don't feel that it really is that much.
Yeah.
And you having that level of mindset, and you having that understanding of, because you don't see it as paying $30,000, you see it as investing $30,000.
Right.
And then I think that's a pivotal focus, and I think sometimes we can brush over that, because that's why people are so quick to not want to go plant-based or not go vegan or not go pescatarian, because we don't see our body as an investment.
That's true.
And when we began to shift, because that was me before I got involved with hiring. I hired my first coach when I was junior in high school. I was paying him like $75 a session or something. It was something like that, and I would go work at the grocery store, and I'd basically pay him my money. And then now I've hired coaches, and I've paid like $200. I bought a course that's like $1,000. Like now I look at it totally different. I look at it totally, like, I'm in a position, but I desire to be in a position to where I can pay to go on like a mastermind retreat or something like that, to where I'm putting down $100,000. Like putting down $100,000 to sit in a room with some other like-minded people who also put down $100,000.
Right.
And then we're having a different level of conversation.
Right.
Because that individual who put down that money, he's not out here talking about Game of Thrones. Right. He's not out here talking about, you know, well, maybe this weekend we're going to do bottle service. I mean, he might, yeah, you know, celebrate something right, here and there.
Right. You're right.
But I'm sure he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm only going to put this much down and this move
right,
on.
Right.
He invested the money because he saw the value, yeah, and he also saw the work. He also saw the strategy.
Right.
He knew that you had a business. Knew these things. Right. He didn't just give you $30,000.
That's true.
He knew these things. And, go ahead.
And that is very true. And you hit on a lot of like really important things. I think one of the great important thing that you hit on is like, let's just say that you did have that retreat and you were in there with those like-minded individuals. Being able to be around those like-minded individuals on a daily basis for me is super important because they're the only things that are actually going to feed me to be able to want to continue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're right about people not – and then the other thing that I wanted to touch on is when you were talking about when people actually know the value. So, you know Danielle Sorensi, she's the owner of Power Hands. Gloves.
Oh, I know Power Hands.
Yeah. So we were talking and, you know, we're really trying to get this team together to go down to Essence Festival and give like a fitness and nutrition talk.
So
in the process of us talking, we were creating a deck and stuff that I already know. We were looking up statistics about African-Americans and heart disease, African-Americans and diabetes, African-Americans and high blood pressure. And of course, we are the minority, but we're the leader in those statistics of illnesses. And it kind of struck me because in the beginning, I remember having some friends that came up to me and was like, man, it's crazy. Like the majority of your base here is African-American women. And they were shocked because they were like, well, African-American women don't really work out like that. And I couldn't really just get mad at them. Like inside, I wanted to. But at the same time, they were telling the truth, like, because we don't see value in that, you know, we don't see value in that. And it's not where we place our value until something terminal happens. Like the classic example is just think about how many times that you've worked out this year. Now, if I came to you and I said, look, you have this disease and you're going to die, but the only way that you can live is if you work out for the next 30 days, you're going to be working out for the next 30 days.
You're going to work out like your life depended on it.
And but we should feel like that every day because that is what we're doing. We're adding and increasing the value to our life when we're working out and eating healthy. It's point blank, period. Statistics, studies, research, whatever you want to say, it is shown that's what it is. But we don't do that in preventative measures. We wait until there's something that triggers us to have to do that. We don't automatically think this is what I want to do. And this is what we're talking about statistically from the American Heart Association that is giving these reports. Mm-hmm. And so it made me even want to do this greater because it just keeps, there's so many things that happen that keep defining my purpose even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I know that I'm supposed to be a gym owner. I'm supposed to be even more of a gym owner for my community. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be able to catalyst, you know, them being able to get to the healthiest version of themselves. I'm supposed to be able to share veganism with a lot of people. You know, there's so many things that continue to define me, but you're right. Until you place the value in yourself of that, you know, I'm valuable and what I have going on is valuable and this is so much value, then money is not going to be an option for things that you want to feed your value.
That's good. Yeah. Even outside of that, mental health.
Oh, huge. I've had a lot of situations where, you know, and not just African-American women, but a lot of people in my gym that struggle with that. Some of them are avidly telling you and me and other people, like, you know, I've had some issues. I've had some mental health issues. And working out is the only thing that keeps me on track. And this is something that is proven by research, being able to release those endorphins. We have good stress and we have bad stress. The good stress that can actually turn into something is adrenaline, but cortisol, when it is it produced in over amounts of production, we start getting that type of stress where we don't eat, we're losing weight for no reason. It's mainly muscle mass. We're super stressed. You know, we're lashing out on some of the people that love us the most. Mood changes, not getting enough sleep. There's so many things that come out of the production of cortisol. And so it is huge. Mental health is huge for me in being able to teach people that you can stop a lot and just regulate that just by working out and eating right. And I'm talking about, I've researched enough food to know that sometimes it's the food that changes the mood, like seriously. And
that's crazy.
Keeping the sugar down.
I didn't know that.
The sugar consumption is always going to be one of the main things that's going to make that mood go off, because we have dopamine center, our reward and pleasure center. And even though, you know, you're, it might be saying, you know, I want a reward, wherever you think is a reward that you eat, we always attach rewards to things that we eat, whether it's ice cream, cookies, cupcakes, fried food, whatever. When you feel like that, it might feel like that in your brain, but also this is what your blood pressure is doing, heart rate, and also in just your brain from a from a cellular molecular level. So it's one of those things to where I want to be able to share that with everybody, but the way I want to share it to my community is driven. I'll do it for free. I'll do it whenever it's needed, because we have to get that information.
Yeah,
for sure,
man. Okay. So now we're gonna transition. Now I really love your passion. I love your drive. Just seeing you speak on just in this arena. I didn't want to just say one thing to box you in, because right. That's never my thing.
Right.
But just hearing you speak and just hearing how passionate you are, mm-hmm. just about your community, about fitness, about all the things that you're involved with, mm-hmm. and as your purpose continues to evolve. I'm gonna have a front row seat. Yeah. Floor seats, Texas. So now we're gonna transition this segment to call five words.
Okay.
And this is when I give you the opportunity to describe yourself in five words.
Okay.
Please.
All right. So driven.
Okay.
God fearing. Prepared. Unprepared. Look, you gotta do two. You gotta do both of them. What number are we on? Four?
You said driven, God fearing, prepared, four. Unprepared. Okay.
And I'll say cupcake lover.
Is that people be stretch? Y'all be stretching it.
They got vegan cupcakes.
Really?
Yes. It's
sprinkles. What's the icing?
It's just, you know, sugar is vegan. Sugar's non-meat, non-dairy. So
oh, really?
They mix it up. Sometimes they use, for the base, instead of milk, they'll use almond milk or a milk that's made out of nuts. And they can use spelt flour, because that is flour coming from plants. So, yeah, you can get pretty creative with it.
Because cupcakes is my jam.
Oh, yeah?
I used to work in a bakery, and I would smash... I'm talking about smash on a 12-pack of cupcakes.
And you make women mad because you probably wouldn't gain no weight.
Oh, man. None at all. I make myself mad because I would want to gain weight.
Right. So look, we all have different...
Hey, to each his own. Okay, I definitely can respect those. I can respect those five words. I know we were talking about it before, and you were saying that, you know, this is an uphill battle. But the winner's circle of the week, if there was somebody or... a few somebodies
okay.
that you would want to just recognize and say, you know, you're out here working, you're out here grinding. If it's entrepreneurship or whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever that might look like for anybody, who would that person or persons be?
I think for sure I'm going to have to give this to Lil D from 97.9 The Beat. You ever heard her? She's on from 10 to 3 on 97.9 The Beat. Okay. You probably don't know her, but you've heard her voice on 97.9. Okay. Yeah, she is somebody who I literally met. She came into my gym and wanted to work out. And then as I'm kind of looking at everything she does, I'm like, man, she's doing a lot of stuff. She comes up with a lot of creative content, and she's probably not giving, you know, her just due.
Okay.
But a lot of people probably don't know that she's behind a lot of it. And so she might not be getting everything that, you know, all the claim and that to all of these things that she's creating, but she works super hard. I didn't see her put together... a whole program where she is allowing kids or high school students in the area, you know, submit a form to her talking about what they want to be when they grow up, and then she'll find somebody who's that and link them up together.
Oh, wow. And that's amazing, especially in high school.
Exactly. Then she does a 21 Days of Christmas program where she's out mentoring kids and making sure that they're, you know, underprivileged kids are getting Christmas presents and feeling love. Like, she probably got about 9 programs that are, like, solid programs. And she's one of those people that if you call her, she's ready to work. You know.
Oh, dang.
And so, okay. You know, I feel like they could give her, you know, just a little bit a little bit more recognition. You know, she might be the only jock that doesn't have like her own portfolio. And see, you didn't even know about her.
I didn't. I'm gonna go look her up now. I no, might reach out to her.
Yo, I'm telling you, get her on.
I might reach out to her.
She works hard, man. She's a hard working individual, and I like people who work hard and don't complain because.
Say that.
It's one thing to
from a true coach
to know to have somebody who works hard, but. It's some people work hard, and you know how they work hard because they always talk about
themselves. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I'm about to go into this work. I got to go into the other job. Hey, why you always complain? Why you don't get a job? Nah, I'm good. I just don't. What?
Exactly. She's not that. She's the opposite of that. So, Lil D on air. LILD on air. And she is phenomenal. Okay. You got to look. If you even just scroll through her Instagram feed, you're going to see so many things that she does for the community. Okay. It's crazy.
I'm gonna follow her today.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna follow her today. Okay. Lil D on air. Yeah. I've heard that. I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah. She has a really good radio personality voice. So okay. If you ever listen to the radio, you've probably heard her before.
Dope. Sounds good. So now we're gonna transition to the this or that segment. Okay. And this is when I'm just gonna hit you with some rapid fire questions. And I didn't know you were vegan before, so some of these questions might not necessarily apply.
Lord. So I get an NA.
I switched up.
Do I or
none of the above? Oh my goodness. Okay.
Now you got to think about.
Are you ready? No, I have some questions. I'm prepared, attorney.
Okay.
Attorney Thomas, I'm prepared. Yeah. Nah, we're prepared.
Okay.
Yeah. Fufu or stew?
Vegan broccoli. Listen, they really do make, you know, vegan stew.
You could have said stew then.
No, but it can't just be regular stew.
But then I got you. You know, I heard this joke. Don't get offended, Victoria. And any vegans who listen, don't get offended either. Do not be offended.
I'm not easily offended. So
somebody said, you want to know how to find out if somebody is a vegan?
How?
You don't have to ask them. They'll just tell you.
Because we trying to change y'all life.
Nah.
Keep eating that meat.
I'm just saying, I'd rather y'all say, oh, wow, that's so true. But me and you were talking, and then it came up. You didn't
true.
Just say,
but that is vegan, true.
But
like, it is everywhere. It's on my Instagram. Like, you know, you got to let people know.
I mean, but that makes sense, though, with you being here. And
right.
Because holistically, it just makes sense.
That's true.
It makes sense. Okay. Curls or press?
Press.
Okay. Winter or fall?
Fall. Beach. I can't do the cold.
Beaches or mountains?
Beaches? What?
Williams or KFC?
Vegan stew. Williams or KFC?
I put that in there to be funny.
I
really
to say,
did, because that's not one of the. That's never one of the questions.
You put two losers.
No, that's never one of the questions. That's so funny. Oh wow! What if they said we want to sponsor you? What if they said we want to sponsor your gym?
Williams or KFC?
Yeah. What if they said it?
I would take the money and not let them do nothing. I wouldn't put my name on that. I would take the money though.
Oh goodness. Okay, so now just let the people know how they can find out more information on Journey. Fit.
Hey, so I like that commercial. Do that again.
Journey Fit.
Hey, do it again now.
Journey Fit.
Hey, do it again.
If y'all are not watching this on YouTube, you have to just go on YouTube because we are in here cutting up. We are in Journey Fit today. And first of all, this is my first time being in this fitness boutique.
Yeah.
It's not a gym. It's a fitness boutique.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful in here. Like, I mean, you almost wouldn't think that people don't work out in here, but you see this equipment and you know people take this equipment serious.
Yeah, they go.
I mean, no, I've seen the videos on your Instagram. What's the Instagram?
Oh, Instagram handle is JourneyFit365. So that's everything. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Y'all on YouTube too?
Yeah.
Okay, so Journey365.
We got to drop some fire. We got this really good series that we put together. I got to share it with you. It's really cool. And it just kind of showcases a lot of the things that we do. And one thing that I love is it makes us very human. Like, a lot of people think that it's just crazy athletes in here. They don't know that it's like
that's real.
People that's 285 pounds doing the same workout that somebody who's 12 years old is doing.
Wow.
Like the spectrum and the diversity is actually crazy. We're talking about just
like
any topic demographic. So Yeah, I can't wait for y'all to see it, because it literally takes the struggle of three people and it follows them in their transition.
I'm gonna check it out on YouTube. Check it, because I mean I saw you had, you know, I saw you working out with Dwight.
Yeah, Dwight Gentry. That man is crazy.
That man is beyond crazy. Because I went to Richland. Like I was the trainer when he was on the team.
Oh, okay.
At Richland, and then he left, and then I ended up being on the team. And
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I knew Dwight before work like a walk on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had me crying and laughing on it. I was on his.
He is a fool.
He is very much so. He came in here too and brought his videographer and everything, and so we did a little segment, but. He's somebody who really got that faith piece locked down, because he keep the mindset the same.
Man, yeah. I might need to get him.
Yeah, no.
If he's in the country, I know he's been.
He's not.
Yeah, I know he's gone overseas.
If you get him,
and
like, be prepared to be
different things.
Laughing the whole time.
Yeah, like, he's off the chain. Okay, but yeah, let people. So you told him Journey365.
Yep.
And any other information
so
you want to share?
You guys can head to the website, www.journeyfit.net. We have classes, you know, we in the middle of a big expansion project, so you never know when we coming closer to you. But right now we have our flagship in Richardson, and that's where you can find us, very close to the intersection of George Bush and Renner.
Dope. Love it. Now I want to go ahead and give you the opportunity to just leave the people with your final thought.
Okay.
Just to close it out.
My final thought is big faith. Big faith. And you got to have big faith, because you're always gonna have big circumstances. So it's not just enough to have faith. I think that faith of a mustard seed was, you know, for people who have never even had faith. But when you have had an experience where you've showcased your faith, it's time to make that mustard seed something bigger, and you have to have big faith. So anything that you want, and this spectrum could be so wide, it doesn't have to be entrepreneurship, but everybody wants something. We were made like that, and I think that the reason that we need something is because we're gonna have to use faith to get it. So you gotta have big faith.
Man, there it is, big faith. Big faith. Love that. Man, you dropped a lot today. You dropped a lot.
You know, I'm trying to be like you.
Oh, uh-oh.
I seen you at Baylor.
Well, we was out there. We was
you know,
out there.
A you TEDx know, speaker.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We about to go ahead and get out of here before you start getting too petty in here. But I also want to just thank you on air, because so just like you said, you're getting ready to roll out some great things, and you know, y'all have the flagship here, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
It really looks good in here.
I
can see the boutique piece, just well, not even boutique. I just can appreciate how y'all have some of the, you know, some of these photos over here.
Yeah, we got a little bit. We trying to make
but
it.
But it's still cool. Like, it don't look just dingy.
Yeah,
like the photos look cool over here, and then, you know, just everything else.
Got we try to make it look,
man,
nice.
This is cool
here.
Oh, but yeah, like I was saying, I want to definitely shout you out, because we've started a campaign called Passing On Process,
right?
And the goal is to get Process into the hands of 5,000 youth, because I've partnered with Texas Juvenile Justice.
Oh, awesome. And I did see that. I saw that.
Yeah, so just mentoring these young men.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for sponsoring two young men.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, you sponsored two young men, and if anybody else would like to sponsor and help, you know, Pass On Process, cuz the goal is to get the book into the hand of 5,000 youth. That's the current goal. And 5,000 seems small to me.
Where are y'all at right now?
Right now, I need to check the numbers. I need to tally up the numbers. Okay. I really do need to crunch the numbers. But it was really something that I said, this needs to come back, because I was selling the books before, and I was just donating them, just donating here and there. But running a business,
I can't
afford just to donate books.
Yeah.
But now we're probably at, because I was totaling it up earlier, because I just really started rerunning the program.
Okay.
Since.
Mm-hmm.
I probably reached out to you about like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So now we're probably at 2025 ish.
Okay.
But this is like a couple weeks in.
I really want to see you get to your number.
This is like a couple weeks in.
I mean, you're doing a good job by reaching out to all your friends and hitting them with the, do you want to donate a book to a child? And you just,
hey.
You know, when you're at the store and they be like, do you want to donate a dollar to St. Jude? And you're like, well.
Do you want to help prevent world hunger? It's like, no, I don't. But how much does it cost?
Exactly.
You know, so it's.
But this is something remarkable, especially because I know the impact that people can have off of somebody who can mentor you, that has that positive and knowledgeable and wisdom mindset. So, you know, I'll definitely help to kind of push it.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate that, because first and foremost, it was. Well, what was I gonna say? I mean, because I've worked with a lot of the young men.
Uh-huh.
But then I also met a gentleman before, and he told me he's never seen an African-American author before.
Oh, wow.
It was a Hispanic young man. He told me he wants to be the president of the United States.
That's
and
awesome.
I was like, I think you definitely can do it. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know. But it's just, like you were talking about, you have to have a good strategy.
Yeah.
Have to be surrounded with a solid circle.
Yes.
Got to have that big faith.
You got to have that
got
big
Got to
faith.
Have that big faith. So, yeah. Man, we're gonna get out of here. I'm gonna have all of Victoria's information down in the show notes. Or should I say Pastor Victoria? I'm gonna have all of her information down in the show notes, that word you was bringing. And be sure to connect with her. Be sure to reach out, send her a DM, screenshot the episode, tag Journey Fit, say, hey, we heard your interview.
Yeah.
I'm motivated and now I wanna work out.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I wanna
about.
Work out. So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get out of here. I'm with Coach Victoria Thomas.
Yes. Yes.
Sports and entertainment attorney. Nutrition expert, the list goes on and on. Purpose pusher, motivational speaker.
Yes. Come on, and, purpose pusher.
and this is Jonathan Jones, TEDx speaking, bestselling author, and we're getting out of here. And I just want to remind you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams.
Awesome.
Why would you want to live any other way?